Did you send the link out before? Because I just got it.
It's the same. I set up a recurring meeting.
Oh.
So it wasn't. Yes, I sent it out like 3 weeks ago.
I don't know how Zoom works.
Nobody does.
I feel like it's stupid, right? Like setting up meetings and stuff. I guess it's for like companies, but they should have like a non-company version where it's like Skype or something, where you just
call your friend.
You call your friend.
I think they do. Hold on a second. I'm so.
Well, I've never seen it,
so it probably doesn't. All right,
Kelly. But like, I know there is like before you dial in. Of course, nothing is working right now. Before you dial in, like, there's a like, hey, do you want to chat with somebody? Do you want to like?
Right. I don't know.
AirPods on Bluetooth. I want those. Can you hear me okay? Because it's not from my AirPods, even though it says
Mom,
it's connected.
Can you hear me now? Yes, I can hear you okay. And you are coming through on the recorder.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Oh, we're recording something.
Now I'm going to record something.
Okay, I guess I should also record something.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Here comes Ralph.
Record on this computer yet?
This meeting is being recorded.
No.
It happened. But now it's over.
But it's still like rattling around in my brain and ears. Like a, like it just, it's, oh, I don't like it. I don't.
It's like, I'm just telling you to be over your trauma. Hey, you know, the trauma happened and now get over it.
Stevie got the new iPhone, the purple one. And she changed her Siri, so her Siri's like, oh man, let me check that out. Or hey, how's it going? Or it's like, what are, yeah.
Conversational it's Siri. It's very, really
it's,
weird.
It just sounds like a dude talking, and this is the opposite of that. And it makes it seriously, it's like I could still feel it in my ears, the robot lady. I don't know, the voice is just, there's so many more.
It reminds me a lot of her at the ATMs we used to have at work. Mm-hmm. Ralph, transaction processing.
Yeah.
It was like vaguely, it was British, except it was like half posh, half Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins, and like super robotic. Transaction processing.
Yeah.
Rockets.
Rocket.
Missiles.
I'm looking at my
energy low. Sorry, we're talking about one.
I'm looking at my notes for this episode, and I had a typo where I wrote Sweet Ruth, like if Scooby D was reading the show. Ruh-roh. Sweet Ruth in big trouble now. I don't know.
I'd watch it. There's like a Scooby-Doo hybrid.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So what would that be? Because Scooby-Doo is already pretty anthropomorphized, right? Like, so...
Right.
In blending, so is that he like 75% human at that point?
I just picture Shaggy's body.
Yeah.
With like Scooby ears. Yeah. And like the collar. Wait, I don't think Scooby grew the collar. Never mind.
I mean, he could wear it, though.
He could wear it, yeah. As a fashion accessory.
I think there was when that new Scooby-Doo movie came out, at Carl's Jr., they had Scooby-Doo toys, and I think you can get that collar.
Oh,
like,
nice.
The Scooby-Doo toys, like a plastic, yeah.
That's fine.
So people can wear it.
Yeah. People can wear anything.
Good point, man. People can wear anything.
How's everyone going? What's going on? How's your day? What's up?
It's been like a week and a half. Oh, I'm alive.
Yeah, you made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not a ghost. Oh my gosh.
I thought about that a lot. Because it was like, my trip was like, my trip was like trouble after trouble after trouble. And I was in Phoenix for a two-hour changeover. I left Orange County at like 6 in the morning. And I stopped in Phoenix at 8:45. And I was going to be there for 2 hours. So I'm like, that's when I'll eat breakfast.
Right.
And I'll get to my gate and I'll charge my phone and stuff and then go on to the next thing. I was in Phoenix for 9 hours.
Oh, man.
That was like a long time.
Yeah. There was people like, I just want to go back to Orange County. People were like heading back. But the thing is, on the for the trip back, I was supposed to stop at Phoenix as well, and it left at like 4:20 in the afternoon. And then yes, and then I got home at like 9:30 at night, and like, because I was in Phoenix for 9 hours, they gave me $200 vouchers. So I ended up getting earlier tickets. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get earlier tickets and just get home.
Yeah.
So I left it like early in the morning, got home at about noon California time instead of 9:30 California time.
That's great.
But the problem is I couldn't cancel my original flight because of the tickets I bought, which is fine because whatever. I still got a free ride back using the vouchers they gave me. But my phone kept getting updates for that flight.
Oh, no.
And the flight back got redirected to from Phoenix to Denver.
Oh, wow.
Rough.
The Denver to Orange County flight got delayed.
And you keep getting these messages like in real time.
Yes. And then that flight got canceled.
Oh, so you would have been stuck in Denver.
Overnight. Because they said your new flight is now like 7 a.m.
Oh, that's you
know, here's the other part. The reason why the flight was delayed and everything is because they were trying to find Ralph Oppel on their manifest, and they can't leave without him. It was his baggage checked. He's a terrorist, and so it's like, oh shit, we have to unload everything. Might as well just cancel the flight. Meanwhile, like, this asshole is kicking it up in Anaheim Hills or wherever.
So it's not just like an alternate timeline. It's an alternate timeline that Ralph caused. Like, it's his own consequences. Yeah.
But it was crazy watching it unfold because I was like, the flight there was such a pain in the ass that and the flight back was so smooth. Everything went according to plan. But just watching that alternate timeline play out was pretty interesting.
It's kind of like in Mario Kart where you race against like the ghost version of how you did the last time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But speaking of ghosts, like I kept thinking, like I'm like, okay, I'm for sure this plane's gonna crash and the Darmalars episode's gonna post after I'm dead. But like the longer I waited, I'm like, this plane better crash right away. I don't wanna sit 9 hours in an airport, get on a plane for 4 hours before I die.
Right.
Like I'm like, if it's gonna crash, do it now. Don't make me sit like a total of like 13 hours.
13 hours.
And then I
was thinking a similar thing. I was just thinking that like the plane's not going to crash when you have that long of a layover. That's not possible. You've already been fucked over enough.
I felt like it was just like giving me plenty of chances to back out of this.
Right. You're sure you want to wait 9 hours? Maybe go back to Orange County, get on a different flight.
But
that's the effect of Final Destination on our generation.
I've never seen those movies.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
But luckily, like, wasn't like a semi truck with logs in the sky. I know that's a thing.
Two airplanes holding a plate of glass between them. Well, I'm glad you're not a ghost.
Me too. For now. I don't know, but we'll see what happens by the time this one posts.
Are you not a ghost for tomorrow. Now? Or are you glad for now?
Glad for now.
I lost the little poofy thing for my microphone. Is that, as a professional podcaster, I call it a
It's poofy thing or poof. Like, generally, that's a shortening. Just call it the poof. You put the poof on. That's
not true at all. You could just brush your mustache down. I think it'll have the same effect. I try to do like a...
I found it. It was in my bag. Is it to save me from, like, wind?
Yes.
It helps with your peas.
Popping peas?
Oh, so much better.
So much better. Man.
Not popped at all. It was worth listening to you put it on for all the peas not to be popped anymore.
That was an entertaining moment. Getting inside baseball. Well, I have two things to share this week when we do the show, and I don't know how you guys want to go about it, so I want to ask real quick.
We're doing the show.
The lady said.
I know. I mean, we're in the show part of the show. I don't know what I mean.
Well, you had mentioned you have notes. I took one mental note, and the whole episode, I was like, don't forget this one note. Don't forget this one note. So it's still in my head.
Oh, good.
And, but I feel like, like, I don't know. I just, like, I'm going to sit here and watch it. And then if I, like, unless it's something huge, I'll, like, jot it down. But for the most part, it's just in my head. But there's one note I really wanted to talk about, but I'm, it's not even that great.
Well, I went a little overboard with the notes because what happened, one of the things I was talking about right now that I want to talk about is I want to share a picture with you guys and I want to share a clip from the episode. Like, I figure I'll just do screen sharing or something.
Okay, cool. And for the people listening, they should be able to hear it.
Yes.
And then we'll do a really good job describing the picture.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good, because you sent a text message ahead of time before I watched the episode, and I did not spot the thing you were talking about.
And that's
the thing you're talking about? Okay, good.
Yeah. And that's
I'm excited.
I was so dialed in. I was so, at this particular moment especially, I was looking for every detail, and that's how I caught this silly little thing. And then I was done. I was like, okay, I'm done. And I still had some time, so I put on, I'm watching New Girl right now. I'm back on rewatching that, and I'm at season 5 or something or whatever. So I put on New Girl, and I found myself, like, looking at every detail in that, like, whoa, what's my theory about this episode? It's like, you have to crank it back, turn it off.
I have a feeling in the next episode she's going to be quirky. Miss Lippy's car is green.
It's green. That's a crackpot prediction if I ever heard one. Zooey Deschanel quirky? Yeah, I don't know. It's a stretch. I went to a gay pride ride yesterday with my brother and my wife and kid.
A gay pride ride?
Yeah, that's okay. The thing is, they started it last year during, you know, in the middle of the Peter Pan, where it was, you can't do anything. So we all showed up with, like, masks and gloves, and everyone got in their cars and decorated their cars, and, like, we would drove this specific route around town, like, in a convoy. And started honking and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it held over this year because I think whenever they organize things, you know, organizations always, like, plan things well in advance. It was probably like they weren't aware that we were going to be open yet. So we did the same thing. Decorate the car, honk your horn, play some loud music, get a swag bag, and you drive around town. And then they have, like, an in-person pride set for September.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
But it was. Like, you know, we got a swag bag. And I looked at it briefly, and it was mostly, like, coupons or, like, flyers and stuff. And there's some snacks. I saw, like, some fruit snacks and some crackers, right?
Right.
So I hand the bag to my kid. I'm like, here, you can have anything in the bag. Go for it. And I turn around later, and she's eating Oreo cookies. And there's, like, a bag of 6 Oreos. I was like, I would never have told you. Here, eat 6 Oreos in the middle of the day for no reason.
I don't have a kid. And I was like, 6 Oreos? That doesn't sound like a lot. It's a lot for kids.
It's not a lot for me, I guess. But let me just say that she hadn't had lunch yet, you know? fact that I didn't know it was there. Maybe I would have given her 6 Oreos. I'm like, here you go, have 6 Oreos. But to turn around and find her eating 6 Oreos is a different story.
I mean, you gave her carte blanche. I like that. I like that she went for it.
She went for it. She you know, you told me what to do.
You made me do this.
Yeah, this is on you, if anything. The Pride Ride is fun and everything. It's just like what happens is you get on the street, and here I am. I'm on Whittier Boulevard. So speed limit's 45. You know, there's no one. We didn't do it in caravan style. They just said, okay, here's the map. So there's no one in front of me. There's no one behind me. There's no one on the route. And I'm not going slow, so it's basically just like driving around town.
Like, are we here on the right day?
Yeah, it doesn't. You almost wouldn't know.
Yeah, I went to Whittier recently. Went to a record store and spent a lot of money on records.
In Uptown?
Yeah, yeah.
That
I got a Paul
Frees.
I got a Paul Frees record, which I sent off to a friend. It's Paul Frees singing songs. This is like 1960s. Mm-hmm. He's singing songs in the voices of other famous people. But the worst is, which I sent to Ryan, was a Beatles song. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember which one, but it was in the voice of Charlie Chan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you see where this is going.
That's all it went. So it was no good.
Let me guess. Was it Love, Love Me Do?
No, or... it was.
No,
it was
please, please. Later
Beatles. No. It was like Let It Be or something.
Ah, okay. Let It Be. That makes sense. that's terrible. It's part of it.
Well, tying both of those.
What's that?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's part of our rich cultural history of bad stuff.
being awful. Yeah.
It's like anything before today should have a disclaimer, like the Warner Brothers disclaimer.
Oh my god, dude. The like we watched all of the Muppet Show. Minus two episodes that aren't on there. And there's kind of a thrill when you get an episode with a disclaimer at the front of it. Because you're like, I can't wait to see what Disney felt was not good. Like, is it really bad? Is it something subtle? Like, are they just going to say the word gypsies? Or is it going to be like, God, who was it? Marty Feldman. Or it was, there was some guest where the end scene was them taking the piss out of It's a Small World.
Mm-hmm.
And it was littered with questionable stuff and
old school stereotypical performances, right. such as are featured on It's a Small World.
Right. The one with James Coburn is great. There's one in front of that. But it's not like obviously this stuff is wrong, but there is like kind of a thrill you get when it pops up because it's like,
what are we going to get?
Yeah, what are we going to get? Oh, it's so good. I highly recommend. I wonder if there's a list out there.
Of all the disclaimers?
Just those ones.
I think there is, because people were keeping tabs, like, because people are very passionate, as you might imagine, about the Muppets. So they were trying to figure out, would all these questionable episodes be out? What sketches were excised?
Mm-hmm.
There's also... God, I forget what they're called, but there's also a series of sketches that only aired in the UK because they didn't have as many commercials as the US, so they had these like standalone sketches, so people were trying to keep track of those and see what was being swapped out for what in some of those episodes, because usually those sketches don't have anything to do with the rest of the episode and don't feature the guest star. But there's one episode that's just missing.
There's two and episodes that are missing.
Are there two?
Yeah, I looked it up. So one is the Brooke Shields episode, and which I guess
where
is it's
the
a theme
N-word the whole time. It's just awful. With Robin,
it's
of
a,
all people.
It's, I believe it's their version of Alice in Wonderland.
Yes,
but there's
no
but
Wizard of Oz.
It's
because
some,
it's a music thing. I think they're singing the songs from the movie.
I don't know if it's Wizard of Oz. I wanted to say it was Alice in Wonderland. But either way, there was some deal they couldn't get the rights to. And the other is Richard Pryor was supposed to be on an episode, had to bow out. So there was a comedian who was a writer for the show that they got to fill in as a host for the show. And that guy has come into problems with stuff on his computer. A real Jeffrey Jones, if you will.
So you mean continuing to work?
So they're like, we're not going to put that on.
Mm-hmm.
So
especially since he was a fill-in anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But
well, I found an article here that there's 18 episodes that have a content warning.
Oh, that's so I guess that's exciting because there's something like 80-something episodes. There's a ton of episodes. So when you get one, it's kind of rare and you kind of like perk up.
Yeah,
but it always seems to be like the guy I'm really excited for, like James Coburn. Like, oh, I can't wait to watch James Coburn. And then it pops up and I'm like, oh, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, you must have been super excited to watch the Jim Neighbors episode.
Oh, jeez. There's some guests.
He's one of them.
There's some. Well, that's the thing is like, why not the Swedish Chef?
What do you mean? Be the host?
No, like it doesn't get the thing on it.
Oh. That's a well because they're white, I guess.
And then the Flying Zucchini Brothers, the Zucchini Brothers, like it's very stereotypical.
People haven't gotten around to stopping being racist against Italians. I don't know. I've noticed this. Like it's still a thing. People still like say like gabagool and such on
which
the Twitter.
Is a thing. I mean, people should be able to say it. It is an actual thing.
Well, okay, but they don't use it in context. I've noticed that the Italians are not. No one has yet stepped up to be woke against racism against Italians.
It's the Nintendo lobby.
That's right. That's right. Because if that comes to pass, we might have to have some disclaimers before we play Mario.
I think it would be great. Like where he like Mario drops the character. It's like, it's me. Mario. And I'm here today to talk to you.
Jesus. Like, oh, wow. Not only is he's out of character, but he's also really grim. He's not really happy about being Mario.
It's a very serious subject, and he's addressing the audience very directly.
Mario being introspective, I never asked, is it a me?
All right. Ralph, I looked it up. It is Alice in Wonderland, but some of the characters are characters from Wizard of Oz because it's the Muppets, and they do sing. All the songs are from Wizard of Oz. It's a mashup, so we're both right.
Oh, that's we did it. Really interesting.
We did do it together as friends.
I'd kind of like to watch that.
Speaking of mashups, you want to talk about a half deer, half boy?
Yeah.
That's a great transition. I'm in. I'm into this transition.
We've been going for 22 minutes.
Oh, no, that's crazy. God.
Well, that's on par with how we used to do it, right?
Oh, of course.
I don't remember.
Well, hey, guys. Hello, everybody. This is the Garmalars.
We've already started 22 minutes ago.
I remember very clearly that we would identify ourselves after the chit-chat.
Yeah. Oh, would we?
Yeah, sure.
Nobody I guess because knows. I never had to do it. I never did it. So
nobody cares.
I bet.
Nobody cares.
I'm Ralph. We used to talk about Lost.
And now there's no Lost, so we're talking about Sweet Tooth.
Yeah. Episode 3, Weird Deer Shit?
Weird Deer Shit. The titular callback.
Yeah. Which they said like a couple times in this.
Yeah. So two plots in this episode, basically.
Yeah.
It's what happens with Gus and what happens with Dr. Singh.
I don't care for the Doctor storyline. It's sad.
It is very sad. It's like I said, it's sort of similar to what I was saying, like in a post-apocalyptic walk around kind of thing, you're going to see like, hey, here's these people and how did they maintain the peace? Oh, I see. By murdering each other. It's
like, I guarantee you there's a cut where that dude's in that house screaming while being caught on fire.
Yeah, because they pallet wrap him to the chair, right? Not his face, and they don't do anything to kill him or knock him out. They're just like, okay, good, he's secure. Now we can burn the shit down with him in it. And most of the pie. Not all of the pie.
Because that one
tall dude saved a slice.
I mean, if pecans are hard to find.
I guess the sick is not transmitted through food. You know, because I remember early last year where it was like, oh, should we buy food anymore? And then they were like, no, you can buy food.
I had a friend who had a station in his garage where when the food came in would be there for 3 days. Obviously not like perishables.
Sure.
But like, yeah.
Not my dad.
And like mail too.
Yeah. My old man. He was sanitizing everything. He still does. He would pick everything up with a towel,
mm-hmm.
you know, wipe it down, let it wait, put the towel in the wash, stuff like that. Like he's being very, very careful. But this guy's just chomping on pecan pie or whatever it was.
Nobody seems concerned, like, okay, how is it transmitted? Like, we assume it's an airborne
because they put on masks on their,
and they're all together and they're like swab him or whatever. It's like, oh, he's got it, no concern for us, we're just gonna burn him down and then that's that, we're walking away.
It's been working for them for at least 10 years, I guess.
Well, there's only that one burned down house now too. I maybe it's the kind of thing where you don't become contagious until you're sick, and then so if we catch you while your pinky is just barely trembling, then like we're safe.
Do you think he caught it from the doctor's wife?
I'm wondering about that. She's the one infected that we know around there.
Did we see any weird interaction between her and him other than charades?
Where he could have caught it? No, that's a good point. Unless she was just transmitting it to everyone there and he was the one that caught it. We don't know if they interacted previously. But it does seem like they're, you know, an enclosed little community. So where could it come from?
Right.
Dr. Singh says at one point that she's the only one that's lasted that long. What does he say? So it's something about that. Like, she's the one that survived the longest.
And she's taking medication for it, so it's clearly working somehow.
And it's not working now. It seems like it's getting worse instead of better, like it was getting better under the previous doctor. And it's heavily implied, if not outright stated, that it's because the doctor's not willing to chop up hybrid kids just yet.
Right.
Well, he gets that delivery, and it's like...
Yeah, it's one of those dudes with the arm patches.
And he gets the delivery, and he's clearly afraid that there's going to be chopped up hybrid kids in there. And it's not, and he freaks out.
But then he seems to, when he realizes that it's just supplies and bubble wrap or whatever, then he gets frantic.
Yeah,
so because did part of him want to have chopped up hybrid kids so that he could make the serum? Like, was he ready to cross that line? Why would he be so upset finding that the box was empty?
That's a good point. It could be that. It could be that he was... It could be like a weird transposition of relief, like he's relieved, but it comes out in a sort of panicky, frustrated way.
I feel like he was probably relieved that there's no dead bodies in there, but he knows he's going to have to get the dead bodies in order to continue the research.
Yeah.
So it's like, is today the day I get dead bodies?
Right.
He's freaking out. He didn't, and then he's like kind of, I don't know, like he's waiting for it to show up so they could continue. I don't know.
I think that makes both of you right, basically.
Both of us are right.
Again.
But I feel like the way I've heard the comic described as being very brutal, mm-hmm. and the show kind of shying away from brutality, will we actually see that when it happens? How far is this show going to go? Are they going to show chopped up kids?
You know, it could go one of either way, right? Like either they keep going with the general tone and not do that. Because so far we haven't had that brutality, or they're saving the brutality. So it's even more brutal when it happens.
It's like an impact.
Right.
Or there's also like the middle ground where it's like, it's strongly implied. So that's more traumatic to you because you're putting the pieces together in your brain.
Right.
So I'm imagining. So it's like the traditional, like the shadow up against the wall and you might see splatter or something. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
Maybe it's like in Jaws when they're doing the autopsy on Chrissy, whatever her name is. And you just see the arm in the foreground. So maybe you just see like a hand in a box, but it's a clean hand.
That would track with like the fight that Big Man got into in the previous episode, mm-hmm. how it was mostly implied.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the leader, because our narration this week, which only seems to happen at the beginning and the end, so it's not as like heavily narrated as I think Ryan would have a problem with, where it's like you can't tell a story, you know?
Yeah.
And it's about the leader. There's like they call. I'm going to say it's a little girl. I'm going to say they're a little girl until I find out otherwise, and. They start playing this VR game in some crazy arcade, and their first line is, "Clock that aggro mob creeping up," which is way too lingo for me.
So that's my note, is one of the moves they were going to do was animal style.
Yes.
Which A, just made me think of In-N-Out.
Uh-huh.
And then B, made me think of Orgasmo. I don't think I'm going to do animal style anymore. Even though I know it's hamster style, but...
But it sounds like it, yeah.
And now I want In-N-Out.
Animal
style as a move?
But they're all already animals. Awesome. They're the animal army.
Right.
She's got bears, rhinos. I tried really hard... I tried really hard to compare their costumes. You know, at the end when they rescued Gus and Jep from the Last Men. First of all, they rescue them by using knives in real life, which sort of makes sense because their virtual reality game, they use their hands instead of like pushing a bunch of buttons. They're like,
but they have like magic powers. There's like a one that we did like a super jump with the
Right
gorilla pound.
that went through like a ghost tiger out the guys. But yeah. I still think it makes sort of sense that you can learn how to cut somebody in real life by pretending to cut somebody in VR the way they're doing it. Like, right. Believable enough for me. And I tried to compare them in their costumes, their uniforms or whatever, there to the ones in the previous episode. And I couldn't tell that they were the same. I did not think they were the same.
I thought one was the potentially female leader. Wasn't she wearing the same sort of panda bear outfit?
Well, that's the thing is no, because the one in the last episode was definitely a panda, and what she was wearing is more like a grizzly bear, brown bear. There was no white on it.
Well, maybe that's like she's a panda for like formal occasions, like a tuxedo. Maybe. You know, for formal ambushes, and then like more for routine stuff in the marketplace, you know,
yeah.
She goes with the brown. It's a well, possibility.
I know they have a tiger, which just reminded me of Future Man with Wolf and Tiger.
Yeah. I need to finish season 3 of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm like halfway through. Watch Future Man, everyone.
I agree. I loved it. They call themselves Animal Army, and so when they get like the alert, they say emergency IRL,
yes.
Hybrid distress,
right?
And they come walking. Good.
It's funny that they use IRL, and it just shows like these kids are clearly like of a now generation, and all of the sort of Twitter shorthand and stuff right. has become an actual like language. Talk. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And going to that, my 6.5-year-old has, first of all, she's been playing Minecraft pretty excessively, and she will say things like, you know, attack that aggro mob or whatever, which is just adorable out of a precious 6-year-old. But she has, in the past week, just started to say TY to me. And I'm just like, you can't say thank you? You really can't? You
it's the same amount of syllables.
It's the same yeah. amount of syllables.
And less clunky.
Yeah. Yes,
and then I threw back the even more clunky YW, and she's like, what does that mean? I'm like, really? Like, deductively? She is 6, and I was right. not that hard on her, but I'm just like, let's
you should have just laid into her. Sat her down and said, you can't move. You don't get any Oreos until you figure this yeah. one out.
Like, you can't get the sleeve of dad. Oreos. a real bean dad moment. There's a part, like, at the beginning where, you know, in the theme of our show of them going somewhere, you start by seeing Gus and Jep walking.
Right.
And there's a song by the band Lord Huron is playing. And I have a friend where that's their favorite band. Mm-hmm. And I saw that come up and I thought of her, obviously. And then I thought of, like, how crazy would it be to have your favorite band have a song on a show? Because that happens to me like 2 or 3 times. Like, they might be giants were on Tiny Toons, for example.
Right.
They were on an episode of Umbrella Academy. And I basically had to stop.
Maybe like a couple years ago, we went to Knott's Berry Farm and they had Snoopy on Ice. Mm-hmm. Drag Stevie in. Come on, let's go see Snoopy on Ice. Like, she's like, what? Really? I'm like, yeah, come on, Snoopy on Ice. So we're sitting there watching it and they're playing all these songs. And there's a section of Snoopy on Ice at Knott's where they have the MIB Giants play.
Oh, crazy.
And I was like, what?
Yeah,
and so I was like, we came out of Snoopy on Ice being like, Snoopy on Ice is the greatest thing ever.
That's really funny because I thought you were going to say, like, I thought you were going to say Danny Elfman or oh. James Newton Howard, but then you're straight yeah. also about the MIB Giants.
But yeah, because as soon as you said, imagine if your favorite band, that's the first thing I thought of was They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
And then it was bizarre. And I think I caught it on video and it was on Vine or something, but that's long gone.
That's gone, yeah. That's crazy. That's what I was thinking, because like when it came up on the Umbrella Academy, I basically had to like stop and like, wait, like, hang on, let me process this before I watch this.
I was watching, there's a thing called The Orange Years, I believe on Hulu. It's like the story of Nickelodeon in the 80s through like the mid 90s. Oh. And they were talking to Melissa Joan Hart about all the bands that they wanted her to bring up on Clarice Explains It All. Like, they wanted her to talk about New Kids on the Block and stuff. And she's like, I don't like them. I don't like New Kids on the Block. And so they said, well, just talk about who you want to talk about. What bands do you like? Just add them instead of, you know, the line that we have written down. And she mentions They Might Be Giants.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So I'm like, that's crazy. It was like 1994 or 3 or something. And
oh, good for her.
Yeah. So...
So there you go. That's our discussion on They Might Be Giants in popular culture.
I don't know if they would show up on Sweet Tooth.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Someone made a point in the documentary that came out like 20 years ago that now people that have been interested in the band since they were kids are now starting to be like music supervisors and in charge of shows and stuff, and that's why
that makes sense
to show up more. Yeah. I want to ask, you know, but for all the violence and stuff, is the overall tone of this show just kind of like nice and sweet? Yeah. Or am I like reading it wrong?
It feels sweet. I mean, the kid who plays Sweet Tooth is really good.
Yes.
And you really want to root for him, and he's seems like a good natured kid.
Right.
And you know, he's sweet. And you can even tell, like, that big guy is kind of starting to come around on him.
Exactly.
So, and I feel like it is, yeah, I feel like it's lighthearted in tone, but even, like, when it comes to, like, the more intense stuff, I don't feel like there's going to be any harm. Like, when the guy holds the gun up to him when he's trying to get the methamphetamine out of the train, like, I'm like, oh, he's not gonna get hurt. And right. Even when they were being pulled by the horses, I'm like, oh, the gang's gonna come and save him. Like, I never felt threatened, so I feel like I think of it more as a sweet show as opposed to like
a scary
dangerous post-apocalyptic world. I don't know that's just me. I don't know if that's because coming off of something like Invincible,
uh-huh,
where it's like where it, super it's violent tone. And yeah, very, very serious in nature. And I've also been rewatching Breaking Bad,
which is also very,
and it's
dark.
Very, yeah, it's very somber. So watching a kid with cute antlers and ears, which right, I can't stop staring at the ears. I found out they're puppeted. They're not CG. They're puppeted.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't feel any sense of danger or urgency,
like real danger,
which I like. But then you get the scenes with the doctor, and it feels like those scenes
that's not
are more intense. Yes. And I feel like when I get to those scenes, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is depressing and dark, mm-hmm, and, uh-huh, and insane. And the way the outcome happened on this episode, I was just like, it almost heightens it because right, the guest storyline, like his main goal. One of his main goals is to try caramel apples.
Right. Right.
Great. Great story. Fun. Like, I can't wait for this kid to get caramel apples. And then in the other one, it's like, let's burn this man alive.
Yeah. The other one is all these people who are acting on the surface very normal. They're playing charades. They're having a dinner party. But they're the ones that have lost their humanity maybe the most because right, they could just burn a neighbor and just watch it.
But I feel like that's kind of what the show wants us to feel, because if you look at the stuff with Gus and Big Man, it's shot very colorful and bright, and it's yes, very it feels very natural, like open sunlighting and warm.
Yeah.
And then the human story, like the restaurant / hospital is like dark and cold, and the it's neighborhood like is dark and cold.
Yeah, it's like it takes place in the movie Traffic,
right? You
know, all that
yeah, yeah,
the blue parts.
So I feel like I think you're correct in what you feel like the tone is.
Right.
I have a hunch that we're going to get to the point where the Gus storyline is going to start shifting towards the sort of desaturated colors of the other one, and maybe vice versa. I don't know. I don't know how those two storylines are going to come together. We're just going to have a shot of him opening a crate with antlers in it.
And it's Gus. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just his antlers, yeah. I was just thinking that, like, a classic way of letting us know that the danger is real is killing off, like, a real named character.
Right.
You know? And we don't have one like that to spare right now. Like,
right.
You can't,
it would have to be Gus.
It would have to be Gus or Big Man. And we need Gus for the show, I think, because it's the show about him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they'll kill off Big Man, but maybe he can get real close to these animal kids, and then, you know, two or three of, or four of them can die, and that could show us how real it is real quick.
Right. Well, I guess the Will Forte was kind of maybe supposed to be like that, but we maybe. Kind of all felt like it was...
It was a prologue, like a preamble. Like,
yeah, but
you knew he was going to die the whole time.
Yeah,
you
know? The foreshadowing was kind of obvious, so it didn't really have that impact.
Right. It wasn't like it wasn't an anyone can die moment. It was the hero, the beginning of the journey.
Right. It's the guy who gets sucked into the airplane at the beginning of Lost through the engine. Like, you know, yeah, I think you're fine with the tone. I think the tone that they're setting is meant to be fine. Because even when Gus and Big Man were captured and they're holding them on the ground, holding them both on the ground as the train was leaving, even I felt like, oh, it's okay.
They're gonna right. What's going to happen next?
Right.
It almost seems like getting captured is just another way of getting them from one point to the next point.
Right.
You know, it's the same as the cable car, really. It has as much drama.
Yeah.
I did want to say that when he gets the ticket, Gus goes to get the ticket for the train, and he has to grease the guy's palm with is he the guy he gives the AA batteries to? No, that's on the door.
The guy who gives the
boot laces. The guy gives the most complicated description of the train whistles. Like, I know it's supposed to be, this is set up so when we hear it later, we know how tense to be about how they're going to miss the train. But I couldn't follow. He's like, it's going to whistle once for 5 seconds, and then another two times 10 minutes after that to let you know you're almost late. Like, what? Wait, what?
And I put it together. It's like, oh, they're probably... aren't cell phones or
right.
anything.
Yeah, they don't have a loudspeaker, maybe.
Yeah, so it's not like it leaves at 5 o'clock. It kind of, like, I used to live in a port town for cruise ships, so it's like, that is very important information. Like, when you hear the horn sound once, you have a half hour. When you hear it a second time, you're going to live here forever at Senior Frogs, and you're screwed.
Screwed? I'll live at Senior Frogs.
So they have to go to a dinner party. Or...
Man cannot live on papas and beer alone.
I'll go home, Buffalo.
They go to this dinner party and the Sings, right? And they want to have a safe word so they know when to bail if they have to. Carol! It made me think of the Key Party skit on SNL.
Popcorn.
I do like Gargoyle, but, I mean, he did not stick it in there smoothly.
No, he didn't nail it, but she ignored it anyway, so what's the freaking point?
Right.
It kind of reminded me of in Ocean's 12 when Julia Roberts has to give her, like, the basement is flooded and the pilot light is out. Like, the frantic trying to fit in Gargoyle.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with that?
I watched that movie once. I hated it so much I never watched it again.
Yeah, that's probably the only good part. Yeah, she's on the phone with Danny and
Garcia
rolls up.
No.
Yes! God, it's such an awful movie. Yeah,
and then she plays herself. No.
She plays herself.
Her character plays Julia Roberts.
Yes. And it's caught because, yeah.
Which for me, like for Steven Soderbergh, sounds like a good, funny idea, but I was so mad at the movie. And I don't like that movie.
And the whole thing is they're not doing good Ocean's 11 type job. You know, they're all split up and they're getting caught and, you know, getting.
But
and what that's made, somewhat, I what mean, made, that's really like.
What I liked about Ocean's 11 was they do stuff and set stuff up that pays off later. You're like, oh. That's why they recreated the vault so they can create their own security footage.
Right.
And, oh, that's why the little air freshener, we saw the little air freshener. That's the thing, the van from that they leave in. Okay. But in like Ocean's 12, I remember it being like, we're just not going to tell you stuff.
Right.
And at the end, we'll just say, okay, this happened. But there was no setup to it. It's just like, oh, here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't remember a lot of specific details, but the impression of like a bad heist movie, that's the Ocean's 12. That's where it's just like just believe us. We're not going to bother setting it up or showing you. We're just going to explain that it turns out you were wrong all along. And it's almost like a fuck you. It's like, I was wrong because you made me think I was wrong. Like, you showed me wrong stuff.
Right.
That's not on me.
Yeah.
I know Ralph is may have not seen this episode, but I know Ben has. But the heist episode of Rick and Morty, I think, is almost entirely about Ocean's 12.
Right.
And the comment is, 40% of the movie is building a crew, and 60% of the movie is finding out that the heist has already happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think you're actually right. I want to talk about the hat that Big Man makes for Gus.
Right.
Because apparently the kids have this hobby of dressing up like hybrids.
Okay.
Which, okay, that could happen. I'll sure. accept that. And so it's the classic misdirective, I'm going to make it look like you're dressed like a hybrid when you're actually just a hybrid. And Gus goes, hello, my name is Gustopher Chocolate Dingleberry III. Like, he thinks that humans talk different. That's how people talk. And Gustopher is the natural lengthening of the name Gus.
Why not cover the ears? Other for the story.
No, that's
just story.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, well, I guess once you're going with antlers, you might as well do the ears.
Are there deers out there? Deer?
Deer is the plural's deer. Yeah. I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of the hybrid kids since the first episode, and there weren't any repeats. So, but I did see that Gus is like walking around the marketplace, and he sees those kids, and he's like, oh, kids. And because he never went to middle school, he thinks it might be good to hang out with kids. It does not work for him.
I don't know. It's interesting. The whole thing was interesting. Do you think you can, like, can you cut the antlers off a deer and it still be alive?
Yes. It would not. It might not be able to function, you know, well in its, I don't want to say society necessarily, but with its other animals, because they use them for certain purposes. But I don't think that there's, like, if there is blood flowing into them, I'm sure you could cauterize it. Like, I think the only, they don't use them for anything other than hitting stuff. You know, it's not like there's any organs in there. The ears, you could probably cut the ears off him too. He might not be able to hear quite so good.
Those can get covered under a hat, like a beanie. But I was just wondering, like, would Gus be able to survive if his antlers were cut off? I feel like he would do a much better job, because it seems like a lot of what people think of hybrids is they don't talk.
Right.
So yeah, if you have a guy with a hoodie or a beanie covering the ears and the antlers cut off, that you'd be able to get by.
He'd just be that way. He'd be like Spock at that point.
Yeah.
Whenever Spock had to go undercover.
Yeah. I understand reference.
I want to think of it like, you know, the part of your nail that you can cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I think that his antlers are probably like the whole rest of your nail. Mm-hmm. Like, there's probably blood going through them because they do grow. They're not made out of rock. So it might hurt, but I think he'd survive. I want to show you guys my thing now. Can I do screen sharing, Ryan?
Yeah.
Be more specific. I want to show you my thing.
Yeah, we talked about.
I need this. If I need the screen for it, it's not my thing.
Oh, I got it. Do I have to do something to make that happen?
It says that the host is.
I'm the disabled. Host.
It says host disabled participant screen sharing.
It says,
and I feel like that's deceptive because I made no effort to do that. It's just the default. Now it should be. Now you should be.
It says I can screen share. Do you guys want to see? I have nothing on my desktop. I keep my desktop real nice and tidy.
Not like me. It's a complete mess. We're opposites.
Whoa. Full screen.
So, okay. The one thing I want to talk about first is I'm reading another comic by Jeff Lemire called Black Hammer. And at one point, one of the characters is going through a lot of different realities. There's a part where they do an obvious reference to Sandman. They're just going through a lot of different realities, and then this is what happens. And one of them is they go through a door, and they see here a little deer hybrid kid holding a hockey stick and wearing a flannel shirt. You guys see it?
Yeah.
So that was cool, little Jeff Lemire self-reference.
God.
While walking through reality. And then the other thing that I was talking about earlier, this is I'm going to show you from the episode. Oops, I lost my place, but I'll find it. I'm watching really closely in episode 3 as Gus is in the train station. And one of the things I'm looking at is all the signs, because there's signs about the sick.
Yeah, and you have this set to 14 minutes and 36 seconds. So those who want to check this out.
Is that what I said? No, I think it's... Oh, no, 1436 is what's left. It's 28...
Oh, 2021.
It's like 28 minutes in, 28, 20 seconds, yeah. Okay. In there, they have the signs that are like, unite, prevent, combat H5G9. And then a lot of them say, be kind, report sickness. So I'm watching all these posters. And so, first of all, here's Gus sitting on a bench eating a caramel apple. Good for him. This guy looks like the Duck Dynasty guy. And I'm going to press play, and there's going to be a sweeper with a pan and broom come on the right side of the screen.
Okay. I remember seeing him. Oh, it's not showing us.
It's not showing, Ben, for whatever
really?
Reason.
Okay.
Well, I do remember seeing a sweeper because, as you know, for 10 years, I worked at Disneyland in the custodial department. Is he the dude that you were... Mention it's not
showing. Okay,
the Zoom is being like
no can show.
Yeah,
well, basically, yeah. I'll just explain it then, which we would have to do for our fans anyway. Is the sweeper neither their broom nor their pan are touching the ground?
Awesome.
They're just sweeping air into the pan.
There's a classic Quantum of Solace. If you look at Quantum of Solace, there's a dude with a push broom, and he's doing that too, but it's like 2 feet off the ground. It has to be something where the sound guys picks
it
that up.
It hadn't been the audio, yeah.
And I noticed the pan and broom guy, but I didn't see that it wasn't touching the ground. That's hilarious.
It's not Quantum of Solace level because his is more about like 2 or 3 inches off the ground, but it's funny.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think Pearl Harbor, too, isn't like somebody's like sweeping the deck of the ship and it's like a foot off the ground.
I don't know. I didn't see Pearl Harbor 2.
This time it's Harbor Room.
God damn it.
Pearl Harbor 2 would be.
Harbor Harbor?
20 years later, Michael Bay does Pearl Harbor 2.
That'd be awesome.
God, that movie sucked. That's great. There should be a compilation of brooms not touching.
Of brooms. I did find a website called Every Cough Ever, and it lists every cough and sneeze in movies.
There's a guy who I forget who it was. I need to find him on Letterboxd. So if you're not familiar with Letterboxd, you can kind of like track the movies or shows you watch and give little reviews and ratings, and your friends could look at them and stuff. But you can also create lists. Mm-hmm. So I have like my Star Wars movies ranked from my favorite Wes Anderson movies ranked. I did a list where movies I almost walked out of, and of course Ultraviolet's on there and Avengers and stuff. But this guy has a list that he's compiling of movies where someone goes through a traumatic experience and has a blanket put over their shoulders.
Oh shit. That's awesome.
And, and I loved it. And I submitted one to him. I submitted one, the one from Beer Fest, where when Landfill dies, the coroner's leaving and the Broken Lizard guys are standing in the street all with blankets. But the person comes and gathers the blankets and takes them away from him and puts them back in the blanket.
I love that blanket trope. That's
it's
great.
So weird. I don't understand. Is it even a real thing?
I can't imagine. Thing.
Why would an ambulance carry extra blankets?
A blanket
for people to have who are traumatized. It's
similar to me, like to the Wilhelm scream, in that it was just used sincerely enough times,
yeah,
until people then noticed it and started using it intentionally.
I always noticed it because I'm a fan of Star Wars, and it just was kind of one of those things you heard a lot. Mm-hmm. But then Ralph Garman on his podcast, like every day, will do the Wilhelm scream somewhere in there. So now, like I'm so conditioned to hear it all the time that it sticks out like a sore thumb. Uh-huh. We were watching The Phantom Menace yesterday. And for years, my text tone has been "Excuse me" from Jar Jar. Because, you know, when you hear the same sound in a crowded room, everyone looks at their phone, but nobody looks at their phone when Jar Jar says "Excuse me."
That makes sense.
It's very functional. But when you hear it in the movie, it literally sounds like my phone. It sounds fake. It doesn't sound like dialogue anymore. It sounds like my phone.
You've lost the ability to process it as words, and now it's just like a symbol, sound. Like an audio symbol. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a couple of those things that do that. And it's weird.
Saturated your brain.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I really want to...
Wilhelm Scream would be a great text tone.
Yeah, it would.
Does anybody have that as their text tone? Like, I would totally
I'm
want
sure
it.
Somebody does. Not me, though.
I'm going to make that.
Go for it. Make it happen.
I'll make it happen.
The only other thing I really want to talk about from this episode is that we meet General Abbott.
Yeah, I don't know who this is. He kind of reminds me of... Dr. Robotnik. I don't know why. It might just be the round glasses.
Glasses.
And I think maybe at the end of Sonic the Hedgehog, the first film, that was kind of the look of Jim Carrey.
Uh-huh.
He gets abandoned in another dimension and has a long beard and goggles. He looks cool. He looks like a comic book character.
Yes.
I feel like other than Gus, he's the most comic book looking character we've seen. I think even like the Animal Warriors, the hybrid gang or whatever, they don't look as comic booky as this guy. This guy is cool looking. I like him. He looks like a Mike Mignola drawing.
He reminds me of, for some reason I wanted to say he reminds me of a guy from Transmetropolitan, which I never even read. But
oh, it's the glasses?
It's the glasses, I think. Even though they don't match his in any way. Yeah. And he does, the Transmetropolitan guy doesn't have a beard. That's just...
Bald with
colored glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to know more. We have a main villain, which is nice.
It's nice, and also he references someone that he wants. You know, the guy says, "We found her." And who do you mean? I mean her. And then so they start packing. So who's this her? Is it going to be the leader of the animal army?
Yes. That's what I assumed because this is episode 3.
Yes.
And there's 8 episodes?
And we're introduced to both characters in this episode, so that would make sense. My other thought was, I wonder if Amy is related to the hybrid sanctuary. Because we see
I'm wondering,
start,
too.
Because she gets that pig kid at the end of last episode,
mm-hmm.
and she's got the zoo, and, you know, it could be connected. She might even be related to the leader.
And then we saw the flyer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That was at Last Man headquarters.
Yeah. So it's not a trap like I assumed. I mean, it could still be a trap, but the fact that we're saying that, you know, whoever released the flyers
dropped too many.
There's too many to find, and apparently these guys found one.
Either they found one or it's up on their thing because they're the ones that dropped it as a trap.
But
you know, they're like,
yeah. The way he's looking at it, though.
Yeah,
I don't imagine those kids having the resources for airdrops or toner. Right.
But they do have that big complex with a loudspeaker that's able to tell them that they have a problem IRL. And then video game
it's just
VR.
It's just an abandoned arcade, and kids are good with computers.
It's like an abandoned amusement park. There's a roller coaster and everything. And they come from underground through a dinosaur's mouth.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's a sweet secret base, man.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think we've thoroughly discussed this episode. Weird deer shit.
I'm excited to see where that character, you know, goes. The Abbott. Abbott?
Yes.
Hey, Abbott! They had... there was a brief moment, I guess we should discuss, where Gus and the leader meet up.
Right. And she's able to see through the disguise.
Instantly. But he says, "I'm just a normal human boy. I can talk." Which is like, that's exactly what normal human boys do.
Yeah.
You're way to be undercover, kid. But then they get separated, but now they're back together. So, obviously we're going to see what happens there.
And then the reveal of her taking off the mask, and it's like, I know who it is.
I know. You don't have to. And the light goes on.
And his eyes.
And his eyes.
Exactly.
But
I have a theory about her.
Oh, do it.
Go for it.
I think.
You stink.
This is just my thing. It's like, okay, why would a normal kid, why would a normie care about a hybrid so much? And my guess is that she had a younger sibling who is a hybrid and feels the sense to protect them after he was assimilated. And her parents probably died from the virus or whatever.
I think she's a hybrid, but you just can't see the baboon ass. No, I don't know. It's I feel like, okay, if I'm gonna speculate, I feel like it could be a commentary on children being the future, understanding that even though things are different, that it's okay to be different.
Right.
And it's a big sort of metaphor.
Yeah, because kids do tend to be more tolerant about.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to teach a kid to be intolerant, because otherwise they're just like, hey, look, another kid. You want to play?
I believe that, but I also believe that kids also tend to be assholes too.
Oh yeah, that happens too. Like, yeah, no doubt.
But I feel like with
non-judgmental.
I feel like with the adult storyline in this episode, it could be leaning that way. Like, adults are assholes and kids are accepting.
Yeah, they'd be more likely to make fun of Gus for his antlers, or equally as likely to make fun of him for his sweatshirt. Like, oh man, that sweatshirt sucks. I hate you.
Yeah.
And not even notice that he's a hybrid. Like, if it weren't for all the societal pressure. Next episode on Sweet Tooth, episode 4, is called Secret Sauce.
Right. I forgot that we were restricting ourselves. So, like, as the credits were rolling, it's like, watch the next episode. It's like, oh, delicious.
Did you watch it?
It dropped early. No, but I thought for a second, like, I had a sweet Netflix hack that got me the next.
No. They're all there for the watching.
Really. No, they're all available. It's just us.
We're just taking it slow.
I'm with each episode, I get more anxious that someone's just going to say something. But I think our listeners are cool enough to not spoil anything. But I feel like the way the series is going, there's not really. I don't think there's anything crazy that can be spoiled. But I don't know. We'll find out.
I'm just.
It's been nice being able to just watch one episode a week. And then as far as our recordings go, it was like a week and a half between watching an episode. So I was kind of I was kind of itching to watch it.
Right.
Then, once the thing said watch the next episode pop up, I'm like, oh man, gotta wait. Gotta wait. Because I don't take notes. So I don't want to watch it like on Monday and then wait a whole week to do the show. So I watch them literally right before we record. So I watched it today for breakfast and
I watch shows like you for breakfast, punk. I've got chunks of shows like this in my stool.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No.
We're clearly wrapping up, and the energy dipped a little bit right now. I was about to ask, so does anyone have anything to promote?
Casper mattresses?
Yeah, exactly. does anybody have any plugs?
No, but you can go to @DharmaLars on Instagram. I think we have 50 followers.
Really?
Like in a week or two?
That's crazy.
Do we have content for them?
I just been posting the show episodes. So if you want to, I can put.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Do you want me to send you the?
Yeah, send me the picture. I'll put that up, and then so everyone can see it. And then I'll see if I can grab the broom guy too.
Okay.
So what I can do is I'll post the show image like normally, but then you can swipe to the right and see more images that pertain to the episode.
Wow.
Okay.
So that'll be cool.
Now, do you have to hack Instagram to do that, or how are you able to?
You have to rewrite the encryption.
I'm going to have to figure out how to grab the broom guy footage.
But I would we'll just see. I'm so technologically behind that I just put my camera up to the screen sometimes.
I mean, you could do, you can get away with that if you get like, if you can get the camera positioned so you get rid of like scan lines and stuff.
That's what
I used to do on Vine before Vine had an upload feature. You know. So once again, let's peter out of this episode. It was a good one. I very much enjoyed it, and I can't wait to watch next week's. Next week's will be the halfway point of Sweet Tooth.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
So
we'll finish with Sweet, and all that's left is Tooth.
Or Ruth.
Ruh-roh. Well, thanks for talking, guys. I enjoyed our chat about that.
Yeah, me too.
And thanks for listening, listeners.
Yeah.
And we hope to talk to you next week. Let's peter out.
Unless I'm a ghost. It's still on
the
table.
Recording has stopped.
Ah!
Well, there you go.
I put an end to it.
It you know what? It's funny. It reminds me of, it's like the audio equivalent of the scary picture from Look Around You.
Yes.
Yes. And I had a dream last night that I was watching the Look Around You season 2 music episode. That was it. That was the dream. I was just watching it.
Music 2000.
Yeah.
We were just watching Edgar Wright talking to Seth Meyers about his new documentary, and he mentioned Top of the Pops. And I was like, Imhotep, Granddad. And of course, our very own little Jack Morgan with his hit, Little Mouse.
Little Mouse.
Hey, little mouse. Don't be scared. Reaching out for me and you.
Speak for yourself, moron.